Sunday morning, I preached a message, and the title of it, Do You Want to Be Great in God's Kingdom? I actually went back and listened to that yesterday, and towards the end of it, and I would encourage you, especially if you're listening by the internet, I'd encourage you to go find that, listen to it, because towards the end of that particular message, the anointing changed. And I talked with Tim about it later. And it clearly changed right at the very end. And it was when I was speaking about taking the next step. And something that has been rolling over inside of me since I preached that, since I came to that point. There's many of you. When I say many, I mean there's many of you in this body that you are just about that place where he's wanting to promote you. Now let me qualify that, because I want to make sure that you know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people that are hungry, that are spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer. I'm not talking about just novices, just casually doing this. And on a Wednesday night, we don't have many of those here. But in case you're listening by the internet, just so you know who I'm talking about. People that have been doing this message, that have experienced change, and most likely you've already had some promotion in your spiritual life. You've already taken a few steps up. Why it seems like there's such a number, I can't tell you. I don't know. When I woke up this morning, what was going over on the inside of me was out of Luke chapter 14. So I want you to go and turn over to that. What was going over was come up higher. And I know that he wasn't just talking to me. I know it was for the body. It wasn't just for me. But what I was hearing is come up higher. So turn over to Luke 14. We're going to start reading in verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say unto thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. And especially look at this last verse. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbles himself shall be exalted. We'll stop there. That was what was rolling over on the inside of me. If you'll remember, if you were here Sunday morning, the message that I taught on, we took it out of Matthew 18 through Matthew 20. And it was in Matthew 18 and verse 1, we were talking about the disciples, if you'll remember, how they were fighting with each other because each one of them wanted to be greatest in the kingdom. That was the attitude in their heart. And Jesus corrected them, and he asked for a little child to come over. Bring a child to me. He said, if you are converted and become as this child, that's how you, first of all, make that first step to being great in the kingdom. Let's go over and look at that in Matthew 18. Verse 3 is where I'm talking about. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And what I noted Sunday morning was, there's the first step of becoming converted, then there's the next step of humbling yourself. Not everybody that goes through the first step is going to go through the second step. There are going to be those that we're going to find in heaven when we get there, that they just, it's almost like they got in by the skin of their teeth. They accepted the Lord and that's all they ever did, and they got in by God's grace. There's going to be those, though, that were never satisfied with just getting in by the skin of their teeth. There's going to be those like you that are hungry. They're hungry because you just have a deep-seated desire for God to use you. And you just refuse to be satisfied. You showed me these steps earlier today. Remember what we read there in Luke about having them taking the lowest seat and having someone come and bid you to come up higher. When you take that first step into promotion, that first step, however scary it may look to you, you take that step. Something that I've noticed as I've made those steps, one by one, one level of promotion in the Spirit to the next, you take that step, and as you take it, there's a little anxiety in your heart because you really don't know exactly what God's taken you into. But you take that step, and it's like you, after a while, you start to come to know what it's like to live in that place, and it becomes normal to you. And then there's that, the next step, and you can see it. It's almost like he showed this to me. It's like whenever you're driving down a road, let's say it's some flat state like Kansas, and you can see off in the distance, you can see this town, you're approaching it. At first it's just like a bunch of lights in the distance, and as you get closer, it starts taking more detail and more form. And as you get closer and as you get closer, then everything starts to become more clear. That's what it feels like sometimes whenever you're about to make another step in the Spirit. For a while you're on this level that you've been promoted to, and you're living here and you're comfortable in it. And then all of a sudden there's a stirring on the inside of you. Have anybody ever felt that stirring? It's like there's like a, it's hard to describe it. It's an unsettled feeling inside. And you just know something's about to happen. And it's like you're looking off in the distance and you're seeing this town that you're starting to approach it from a distance. And as you get closer, it's starting to take shape and you're starting to see it more clearly. And this is the future that you're going into. And God's saying, okay, it's about time right now. Are you going to take this next step? And you may look at it and it may look a little bit scary like it did the step before, but just realize this. As you made that first step and you lived there, it became normal to you. And that's what's going to happen this time too. You may not understand it right now. It may look a little scary, in your mind you're thinking, I can't see exactly what you want me to do, Lord. But I know you want me to do this specific thing, So I'm going to make this step. I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to follow you and make this next step. See, what qualified you for that was what I preached Sunday morning. What qualified you to take these promotions, to come up higher, is what I preached Sunday morning. It's that verse 4, you humbled yourself. You did what's being taught here. The edification message, the mortification message. You've been doing it faithfully. And I know at times you can do that and do that and do that, and it's like you don't see anything. And there is a weary and well-doing that you have to fight against. But what I want to tell you is, and I believe that this affects a good number of people here, that you're approaching a promotion. And you don't have to be afraid. You've done what it takes spiritually to get to that place where God can say, okay, it's time to come up higher. He doesn't make you. There's no force behind it. You see, in my experience, that was the thing that kind of was elusive to me, because I felt like God was going to make me take a promotion. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't make you do anything. So you're in here praying. You're fasting. You're confessing His word. You're seeking the face of God. You're doing everything that we tell you to do. You're being faithful to do it. Just know that it's taking you to a place that He can stretch you a little bit more. Once you make that step into that next place of promotion, there's going to be a stretching. It's going to require some faith to walk there. But you don't have to be afraid. That's the great part. Because in order for Him to come to you and promote you, it's because you're ready. That's the great part. Whether you feel like it or not, it doesn't matter. Whether anybody around you, and I say that, like, in particular, maybe family members, people that you would probably consider not quite walking the spiritual walk that you are, maybe those people are going to look at you and say, hey, I don't see it. I don't see the promotion that you're talking about. You don't have to look at them and get their stamp of approval to validate what God's doing. When it's God, then it's God. And if you've done this message, then number one, you've heard His voice and you recognize it. You recognize it. So I'm here tonight to give you a word of encouragement. Because it can get long and tiresome to do this, but there's a place, and I think you're coming to it, where He's going to say, come up higher. And then it's a matter of you saying yes. Earlier this year, that's exactly what the Lord was saying to me. My wife and I knew before the end of last year that there was going to be a change in our life. We knew that there was going to be me leaving my employer, going full-time in the ministry. And we just didn't know when. It was like that city that we were approaching from a distance. We could see it. We both knew it in our hearts. But as far as having the specifics, we didn't have it. We just kept walking. We kept doing what we knew to do. And we came to that point where all of a sudden, he starts talking to me. He starts dealing with me specifically about the change. It wasn't like all of a sudden He said, okay, I want you to do this now. It wasn't like that at all. It was like one baby step at a time. He started dealing with me about my willingness. Would I be willing to leave my job? Once I got that settled in my spirit, then the next thing was, will you be willing to leave it in a month from now? That one I sat and thought about for a while, prayed about it. You know, to say that, okay, I'm gonna ask you to leave your job, that's one thing. Oh, I can say yes to that. I want you to do it in a month. That's completely different. Because now there's a date involved. You're actually going and talking to your employer and saying, okay, I'm going to leave on this particular day. But he didn't start there. He started months before. I was asking Debbie this evening, how long was it in advance? It was about 6 months that we knew that something was about to happen. We knew that I would not stay with my employer all the way through this year. So God was already setting the stage for us. And all we had to do is continue to put one foot in front of the other and walk into Him. And then He would give us the specifics. So for those of you that on the inside you're wondering, okay, I can kind of see where He's wanting me to go, but I don't know how to get there. Don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. You just keep doing what you know to do. Say yes to Him as you reach those points where He's wanting a decision from you. Just say yes and make that step. And as you do that, you'll come to another place and He'll say, okay, now that you said yes to that, now how about this? And then it's your turn to say yes again. And it's all about your decision. It's all about you saying yes to Him. And as you do that, then that city that was off in the distance, it begins to clear up a little bit. And then you start to see the specifics about what He wants from you. Is that making sense to anybody? So that's how He started my day this morning, was He shared that scripture out of Luke 14. And I kept hearing that inside, come up higher. And I believe that's what He's going to be saying to some of you. And He'll just stand there, very gently, ask you to come up higher. Will you come up higher? So I asked Him this evening, and it's funny because I spent the whole day just thinking about what He was saying. And towards the end of the day, He started giving me some examples. Now, I like the Old Testament example He gave me. I like to give those examples out of the Old Testament because it's an old covenant. You know, we're going to talk about David for a little bit. I like it because, you know, whenever you have the enemy in the Old Testament, what did they do? They killed him. I like that. You know, it's final. That's the end of it. There's no more. No more Goliath. He's gone. And you get in the new covenant, it's different. Now we have to love our enemies. Hey, I liked killing them better, you know? But we can't do that anymore. Now we don't get to sling rocks at them. Now we have to love those critters. And it's challenging sometimes. But you know, if you're going to be promoted, you're promoted based on that love. It's the love that you have for people. It's the love. He got my mind started going down this direction by something that He said to me a few weeks ago. He said, a minister is someone who's looking for ways to be a blessing to others, not for how the others can bless him. Jesus was never looking to the people to be blessed by them. He only looked to bless them. And I shared that with Pastor Dave, and that's where he started me looking at Matthew chapter 20. And I saw that there was a whole teaching there which began in Matthew 18 about being great in the kingdom. And as I studied Matthew 18, Matthew 19, and Matthew 20, the one theme that seemed to come out was a theme that Matthew 19 ends with. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's repeated again in Matthew 20, verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few be chosen. And it seemed like that theme just kept getting repeated as I'd go back and I'd read Matthew 18, and I'd see where Jesus was telling them, become this little child. Humble yourself as this little child. Take the lowest seat. Don't try to put yourself first. Because if you put yourself first, you'll end up last. In order to be promoted in the kingdom, you have to take the lowest seat. You have to put yourself last. And to me, as I read Matthew 18, as I looked at what he was saying when he was talking about the child, that humbling yourself as that child, to me, he was saying, do this message. Doing this message is humbling yourself as this child. It's taking the lower seat. It's not trying to promote yourself or who you are. It's about coming in, taking a seat, praying, meditating the word, confessing the word, changing, so that I can promote that change that's on the inside of you. And if you'll do that, rest assured, you will be promoted. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You will be promoted. He's looking for people to use. There's a shortage of people to use. But as I said, Sunday morning, whenever you go on in Matthew 18, what you're going to find, and I'm going to read a little bit of this. Verse 5, And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones. Now see, right here we change. We went from being the little child to being someone that offends a little child. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That word despise there, if you just look it up in a regular American dictionary, it means to regard as worthless. Regard as worthless. If you despise one of these little ones, if you regard them as worthless. And all of what he was saying there about the hand or the eye or the foot offending thee, as I said Sunday morning, he's not talking about physically removing that from your body as far as cutting off your hand. He's saying remove the part of you and you're the one that does it. Remove the part that's offensive to those little children, to those that are innocent, that are new in the Lord, that don't know their way. If you offend them, you're in big trouble. And he can't use you. He can't promote you the way he wants to. So he's saying, this is your responsibility. This is how you get promotion in the kingdom. Cut off those parts. Do whatever is necessary to remove the parts that are offensive. And then he gives you the value that he places on just one. on just one. He says if the shepherd had a hundred and he loses one of those sheep, he leaves the 99 behind and he goes and he looks for that one little sheep. Because and whenever he gets that and he finds that, he comes back and there's a celebration. Why? Because he values each and every one. There's not any one of us that he doesn't value. So to offend one, it's a problem. So why is it that there's not more people being promoted in the kingdom as a whole? I'm not saying just here. I'm just saying as a whole. It's because there's too much left inside of them that will offend. There's no way that he can promote someone that has a bunch of, lack of better term, handles is what Pastor Dave used to call them, handles, or things that will offend on the inside that have never been addressed. So he can't promote that. But see, I'm giving you this message tonight because you're someone that has done the message, has cut off those offensive parts, and now you are ready for a promotion. And this is what he wants you to know. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to know all the details. You see, there's a step of faith that's required. You don't have to know how everything is going to be paid for, if it's money. You don't have to know how he's going to make those necessary connections for you. All you have to know is this: is it God? Is he the one telling me to do this? When you know that, then you make that step. And then he'll tell you to make another one. And then he'll tell you to make another one. Recently, I was talking to Pastor Dave, and he mentioned that there was some change, and he was trying to put words to it, and it's sometimes hard understanding. But he was saying that there was a change that had happened to him, and he felt like it was something that he had never experienced before. And he said, now for somebody that's been in ministry as long as I have, that's something to have a change, because he had gone up to a new level. If he's still going up to new levels, guess what? We have something to look forward to the rest of our life. As long as we'll continue to do this, there's going to be new levels that God's going to promote us into. Let's go and look at David. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to start in verse 7. Verse 7 picks up where God has given Samuel the instructions about anointing David. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. See, we don't see what the Lord sees when he looks at you. We don't see that. We don't know what change has happened inside of you. There really is not a man that you can go to and say, okay, can you tell me what God wants me to do next? You know, it's a shame, but I think a lot of the prophetic kind of went that direction. Everybody would go and give me a word. Tell me what the Lord wants me to do. That's not the way it is. And there's a lot of people that got misdirected as a result of that. You see, God wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you. And he expects you to listen to him and to do what he wants you to do. So let's go read verse 11 and 12. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. Verse 12. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and without, and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Wasn't based on how he looked on the outside. He was the runt kid. He was the one out in the pasture with the sheep. There wasn't anything about him that looked kingly. You know, if we were looking at the natural outward appearance, it would have been one of his brothers. You can't allow what you think about yourself to stop you from being used from God by God. You can't allow that. How you look to yourself or anybody else does not matter. It doesn't matter whether you look like you're someone that God could use or not in your mind or in somebody else's. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what does God say? And I'm confident, I am so confident that if you have done this message, if you have spent the time to qualify yourself, that promotion time, it's just right ahead for you. And that should give you some hope. It really should. So let's go over and look at 1 Samuel 17. So when God promotes you, the next thing he's going to do is give you that assignment. Now the assignment that he gives you, it's going to take faith to do it. It's not going to be something that you can do in the natural. When he said it's time for you to do ministry, I had no idea what he wanted me to do. That was it. And the first thing that happened, we had a tax-exempt 501c3 corporation for years. So the first thing that happened right after he told me to leave was I found out that that had been revoked. Right after that. Those aren't easy to come by. I mean, you don't just go out and get one the next day. It takes thousands of dollars. It takes months and months to go through the government to get another one. So right out of the box, here he tells me to do this. And the first thing I realize is what I had thought was going to be the way that he worked, it wasn't that way at all. So what do a lot of people do? When they see that, it's like, okay, I must have made a mistake. Must not have been God. Because things in the natural aren't working out. You can't judge what's God by what happens in the natural. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen? Are you here tonight? You can't judge that. You have to only go by what God said to you. Don't look at the circumstances. You know, as soon as we said yes to the Lord, guess what happened? The enemy came, attacked Debbie's body. Seriously. A serious attack. I'm not talking about just, you know, a cold or something. I'm talking about life and death type of things. So, what am I saying to you? Well, there is an enemy. And when you say yes to the Lord and he gives you those instructions, and you make that step, just know this. The enemy may attack. Probably will. You know, as Gary said, if you're expecting open doors, the first thing you probably hear is every door gets shut. You just have to bust the doors open. You can't base anything on the natural. It all has to be the instructions that you heard. So here David is. He's been anointed, so he knows. He knows, I'm going to be king. So let's pick it up, chapter 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. They're talking about Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. I'm going to stop there. One thing that will help you as he gives you the next instruction is to recount in your mind the things that have happened while you've been on the level that you're on. Recount the victories. That's what David's doing. He's recounting the victories that he had whenever he took on the lion and he took on the bear and he slew them. He grabbed them by the beard, killed them. He's recounting this inside of him. He's saying, look, I know that I can go to this next place and take on this next giant because I took on that lion and bear and they didn't kill me. I killed them. So where you're at right now, you've got victories. There have been things that have happened where you've used your faith and you've seen the results. I would encourage you to write those things down. And here's why. When you take that next step, guess what's going to happen? You're going to forget any victory that you ever had in your whole life. As soon as the devil is trying to beat your brains out, you're going to forget that you ever had faith at all for anything. You won't even remember what it feels like to have an answered prayer. I'm telling you the truth. If you don't know how to, and don't teach yourself how to recount to yourself these victories that you had. I've walked here. I've done this. I've made this step to this new level. Here he is. He's been waiting for me. The devil is standing right there telling me. First of all, he's going to tell you, you didn't hear God. Does anybody know that? Raise your hand. He's going to tell you, you didn't hear God. That was not God you heard. That was that pizza that you ate. It wasn't God. So that's the first thing he's going to tell you. Then the next thing he's going to tell you is, you don't got faith for this. You can't. Who are you? Who are you? You can't do this. Oh, yes, you can. Why? Because God said you can. That's all you need. You have to have that confident assurance. I heard his voice. I know that it was him speaking to me. Whatever the devil tells you, whatever he's trying to convince you of, when you make that step, rest assured you heard the voice of God. And because you heard his voice, you have the assurance. He didn't tell you to make that step without knowing that you're prepared to make the step. You're prepared. You have what it takes to walk in this next area that he's called you to. So here's what David does. He's recounting his victories. He's telling Saul, hey, I killed that lion and that bear. I killed them. Dead. This little guy you're looking at right here. I'm not afraid of anything. So we're going to pick it up in verse 40. And he took his staff in hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And everybody knows why he chose 5. He chose 1 for Goliath and 1 for each of his brothers. He was ready. He chose the smooth stones. And I really like how Gary brought out the smooth stones. The smooth stones represent the tumbling of the Word of God. You know how you get a stone out of the creek and it's nice and smooth. It's because the water ran over it and smoothed all the rough edges. Tumbled All those edges got smoothed off. See, that's what the Word does inside of you. As you meditate the Word, as you allow that Word to roll over on the inside of you and roll over and you're meditating it, it's those smooth stones that you're going to use, that revelation on this new level. You're walking in a new level of revelation. You see, to make that step, to take that step, you step into another level of authority. Another level of revelation of who you are in the Lord. With that new level comes the responsibility of walking in that new anointing. So that's the five stones. Let's go on in verse 41. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, I am a dog, and thou comest to me with staves. And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. I just love to read this part. And take off thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. Then all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sunk into his head, into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. We'll stop there. See, I like that. I mean, that's good. You have an enemy, you just kill it. That's good. But see, we don't live in that covenant anymore. We're not going around killing our enemies. You know, the enemy that we have has been defeated. He's defeated. All we have to do is walk in the authority that we have, and he has to leave. He has to. There's no choice about it. When you know who you are in the Lord, and you're walking in that understanding and that revelation of who you are, there's no devil in hell that's going to stop you. I don't care what level the Lord promotes you to. If he promotes you, you have that revelation of that authority to walk in that place, or he would never have promoted you. Some people will never get a promotion because they have no understanding of who they are. They have no understanding of the authority they have. If God were to promote them, it would be to their destruction. And he's not going to do that. So understand this. As you have that hunger in your heart to have more of him, to go higher into him, you're going to make those steps. And it may look scary. It may look like there's all around it's impossible. But you have within yourself, through that revelation of his authority, you have within you the ability to have the victory in that place. All you have to do, speak out his word. Confess his word. Command the powers of darkness to leave you. And to walk in that place. Is it easy? Well, There are times it's not real easy. When the money's staying away in hundreds of thousands of dollars and it's not coming your direction, it gets a little bit, what do you want to say? You can get anxious about it. You know, you get anxious whenever the devil tries to kill your wife or your spouse. Yeah. But you can never stop letting the word of God come out your mouth. You can never stop. You have to keep doing that. So the other example that I want to talk about tonight is out of the New Testament. So in the New Testament, we're not killing the enemies. The enemy's already defeated. We're running the devil off. And guess what? People are not our enemies. As ugly as they may be to us, we love them. As challenging as that may be, we love them. They're not the enemy. The enemy is the devil. The people that we're sent to share the gospel with, as ugly as they may be, we have to love them. So the example that God gave me of this, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 9, take a look at somebody. The first person that came to mind was Paul. And whenever I turned to Paul and was looking at Paul, because Paul was an ugly guy. You know, he was killing Christians thinking he was doing God's work. He was not nice. But you know, the admiration that I have, as much admiration as I have for Paul, I think I have it as much admiration for a man by the name of Ananias. Because somebody had to go talk to Paul. Somebody had to go and witness to him and share the love of Jesus with him. If it hadn't been for a man by the name of Ananias, would there have been a Paul? Or would he have just continued to kill Christians? Somebody had to go. Now at this point, when Ananias is sent, he's sent because Paul has been stricken off of the donkey and been blinded. And God sent Ananias. And he said, I want you to go to him. We're going to read this, starting in verse 10. Chapter 9, Acts, verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now notice, did it say apostle? No. It said a disciple. Was anything special, is my point. No, not really. I mean, it wasn't like somebody that walked with Jesus. This guy was just a disciple. Now look what it says. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. We're going to stop there. I want you to put yourself in his shoes. You've heard the stories. You've heard what Paul has done to the Christians. Paul makes sure those people are dead. That's what he does. So God has come to you. He didn't tell you to pick up 5 smooth stones and go and throw them at Paul and kill him. He didn't do that. He said, I want you to go. I want you to minister to him. I want you to share my love with him. Are you willing to do that, Ananias? Can you do that for me? How would you feel? I mean, you think about it. Well, okay, God, but you know it could mean my life. I'm taking my life in my hands to do this. But apparently he had reached a place in his walk with the Lord that God trusted him enough to give him the instruction to do it. You know, there are times that God gives you instructions to do things. He wants to promote you. And there's things that he's told me to do. And I've started in some of them. And for one reason or another, got stopped. And it seemed like after I stopped, trying to go back and get those things started again, it's like every devil around has camped on my emotions to stop me from ever wanting to do that. You started doing something. You got the instruction to do that. And you know what? This could apply. I don't care how long you've been doing this. It don't matter. It does not matter how long you've been doing this. You got the instruction to do something. And you started doing it. And all of a sudden, something happened, whether it was a circumstance. That's what happened in my case. It was a circumstance that came up. And it made it impossible to do it. And I stopped. And when I stopped and I look back at what he said to do now, it's like, it's not just, see, at the beginning I wanted to do it. But I look back now and it's like, I want to do it, but something is just stronger there that I've got to break through to get past this to fulfill what he called me to do. Because I know it like the back of my hand that I'm supposed to do it. And I have allowed something, the enemy, to construct something on my emotions that has caused me to just simply not be able to do it. And I've got to tear that thing down. I've got to tear it down. And now there may be some of you that you've made a step and you started walking in that place. You started walking in those instructions that he gave you. And suddenly you stopped for whatever reason. Whatever reason. It could have been anything. It could have been you lost your job. It could have been who knows what. But all of a sudden, it was completely impossible at that moment to continue doing what he told you to do. The first thing you got to do is repent, which I definitely have done. Repent. And cry out for his grace to help you to get back to the where you can do this again. I don't know how the devil does it. I honestly don't. Because there was a time whenever he first gave this to me and I first started doing it, that there was a joy inside in doing it. I enjoyed it. And I knew it was God and I knew it was right. And when it came to that place when I stopped going back, I cannot describe to you what it feels like. It's like having all these things pulling against you to try to keep you from going forward to fulfill that. You got to break through that. You got to break through that. I've got to break through it. Because God doesn't change his mind. When he told me to do it, he expected it to be done. You know, there was a crazy thing happened between then and now is, you know, Debbie almost died with cancer. It took everything within me just to keep things going for that entire year. But that year is gone. She's great now. Why can't I go back and just simply start doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing? You know, it's a battle. It's a battle that I'm fighting right now to get a handle on to go back and start doing that. And if it's in your life where you can go back, you start praying, and this is how it usually works. You start praying, and you're praying along, and all of a sudden, there it is. You're looking right at it. You're looking right at that very thing that you stopped. And he brought it around to you again. And you're looking at it, and you either that part of you, I know I'm supposed to do that. I know I'm supposed to do that. Don't stop praying. Whatever you do, don't stop praying. Keep praying, because eventually you're going to pray yourself to the place that you're going to do that, because it's not going to go away. For me, it was something that he told me to write. And I know it's not ever going to go away. And there may be people that write all kinds of things exactly like what I'm supposed to do. Hey, that's fine. More power to them. I just know that I'm supposed to do it. And no matter what it takes, I have to do that. And the same thing with you. Whatever it is he told you to do that you stopped doing. Purpose in your heart, Lord, whatever it takes to get me to that place that I can fulfill what you told me to do. You told me to do it. I know it. I even wrote it down, folks. I wrote down word for word what he told me. I've got the date, the time, all the instructions. I mean, he was so detailed as he gave it to me. It's like there's no question that he wants me to do it. And I know that I'm speaking to some people right now. You can look down. It's okay. But I know I'm talking to some people that this is exactly what you're dealing with. You've had something. You've walked away from it. And thinking about it even upsets you. Just to think about it. Just to think about that thing, that instruction, it upsets you. Because you can't hardly imagine, how can I ever get back to that place to do it? He can take you back there. Let's go on. Acts chapter 9. The instruction. So I've already read verses 11 through 13. Or 11 through 11 and 12. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard, verse 13. I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight. Forthwith he and arose and was baptized. And we'll stop there. You know, we look at this example and we think, yeah, this was Paul. This guy was important. Certainly this had to happen. Certainly somebody had to go to him. Hey, there's nobody any more important in this kingdom. Nobody. There's not one person more important than another. We can look at this and we can say, yeah, Paul was, he was important. It was important that he come to salvation. But there's no one of us any more important than the other. When we start looking at someone and discounting them, thinking, yeah, that person, I don't really want to approach that person. You know, whatever reason, Lord, if that's my assignment to reach them, can I have another assignment? Because I'd rather not. See, that's what we're talking about. It's what I shared with you on Sunday. The 99 and the one that's lost, he wants that one. He wants that one. And he wants you to be willing to accept the assignment, no matter how uncomfortable it might make you. You know, we think about promotion, and I was thinking about this today. It was going over in my mind what, You know, that's some of the ideas that people have about being promoted in the kingdom. Well, you know, if it's a pulpit ministry, wow. You know, I get to travel. I want to get to minister to a bunch of people. I want to be in front of big arenas full of people. You know, that traveling. And we could ask John, is that real fun? I mean, it is fun to a certain degree. You enjoy being away from your wife that long? No. Who enjoys that? Enjoying not seeing your kids? Of course not. You enjoy sleeping in one bed after the other? No. I had a taste of that for a while. The job I had, I worked, and it forced me to travel a lot, so I was in a lot of different hotel rooms. Those are some of the ugliest things. I don't care how expensive the hotel is. It's still a hotel, and still a bed that a bunch of people have slept in. So this is the way it is. And that's what it means to travel, to get on an airplane. What, were you in first class, John? Oh, you were. Well, congratulations. They bumped you up. Most of the time you're sitting there and you got your knees up to, you know, about your chest level. You're squished in this tight place. Then, you know, on TV they make air travel look so exotic and fun. And then you get on there, it's like a cattle car, and they shove you down in that little seat. There's nothing fun about that. I don't like that. But you know, whenever the Lord says, I want you to go, it don't matter. If it's across the ocean, you jump on an airplane and you go. Because that's what he said to do. If it means you sleep in horrible hotel rooms. I was in Venezuela once. I stayed in this little rotten hotel. It had this bed in the center of the room. And it was one of those that Dave talks about with the light hanging in the middle that you switch on and off. Can you get a picture of that? It wasn't too exotic. You jump in bed and you wonder what little creatures are on that bed with you. But that's what I had. That's where I was at. You see, it's not, you know, you can get these fantastic ideas about, oh, I'm going to travel the world and minister. But then there's the reality of it. When you answer that and you start going and you start doing. You see, when all of the fluff is gone, are you still going to be willing to do it? That's the key. See, there have been times the Lord's had me to travel, to be outside the country, away from Debbie, for periods of time. One time was 2.5 months. 2.5 months away from her. 2.5 months is a long time. I mean, you're just counting the days, marking them off the calendar. When am I going to get home? That's all you're thinking about. But you know, when it's God, and you know it's God, and she knows it's God, then there's grace there for you to do it, no matter what it is. So the point I'm trying to make to you is this. Once you answer that, you know, let's go back to the example where you see that city off in the distance, and you're getting closer to it as you travel, and as you're ready to make that step, all of a sudden it starts to clear up, and guess what? Maybe it's not what you expected. It's like, God, are you sure? I didn't think I was going this direction that it ended up here. Oh yeah, this is it, Mark. This is it. Are you willing to make that step with me? You thought it was going to be exotic, traveling the world, ministering. Here's your little hotel room in Venezuela with your little ugly bed. This is it. This is what I want you to do right now. Are you still willing? Because it's the love for my people that you have to have. That's what you have to have. That's why you get promoted. It's because you love the people. That's why he sends you so that you can love them, bless them. If you've listened over the years to Pastor Dave, you know, as he has walked this out, where has it taken him to? It's taken him to love. If you're ever around this man for any length of time, that's what you're going to hear is the love. It's the love. See, that's how you get promoted. That's how you get promoted. You cultivate this love for God's people. You realize you have this heart that He has, that it's that one out of that 99 that's lost that you're going after. That's the heart. And as you get that heart, He can ask you to go up higher and ask you to go up higher. And the devil can throw all hell against you. But you're loving Him and you're loving His people. And that's what it's all about. Because it's the love that's going to draw them. It's the love that they see in you. Look at Pastor Dave. What do you see? He's love with legs. That's exactly what he is. That's what I want to be. You know, he taught about private worship. That's what I'm endeavoring to do. Spend time in private worship. Because I want that love that I see in him. I want to cultivate it. I want it to ooze out of me like it oozes out of him. And it will. You know, it's not a, you know, talking about private worship is not a real popular thing because it's just, you know, it's one of those challenging things to do. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want those steps of promotion in the kingdom, it comes because of the love. It comes because of the love. Now you can pray, and I encourage you to pray and to come against those things, those, where you have to cut your arm off and cut your leg off and getting rid of the obstacles inside of you. Praying in tongues, fasting, meditating the word is going to do that. But if you eliminate the private worship and the cultivating that love, I don't know. To me, it seems like you've eliminated the very thing that's going to cause that love for the people to be cultivated in you to not worship. So, I do. Do I do it every day? No. Had an email the other day. It was real interesting. Somebody in Hong Kong, I think it was asking, okay, I've got 2 hours a day. How do I spend that time? Yeah, it's the question everybody wants to know. Do I spend it confessing the word? Do I spend it praying in tongues? How do I spend it? Well, not knowing how long this guy's been with the message, my recommendation was, you know, spend the majority of that time praying in tongues and reading the word. Spend a portion of that time confessing and in worship. And in doing that, the praying in tongues is going to bring you to that place that you're going to be able to hear his voice for yourself, because that was one of the other questions. How do you hear his voice? As you practice this, it's going to bring you to the place that you can hear more accurately. Then you just ask him, how do you want me to spend my time? How do you want me to spend this time? I've got 2 hours, Lord. How do you want me to do it? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? He'll tell you. And then you just do that. So as I close now, the bottom line of everything that I'm saying to you is this. Come up higher. Come up higher. He's coming to you, and he's asking you this. Will you come up higher? And again, for so many of you, I truly believe that this is what, in the real near future, this is what he's going to be saying to you. And my encouragement to you is this. Spend time just listening to him. Just listen. Hear what he's saying to you. Get those instructions straight when he comes. When he asks you to come up higher, you say, okay, Lord, I will. I will. And then he'll come to you and he'll say, okay, this is what I want you to do at this new level. Write everything down. And be willing. Don't look at the circumstances. Just say yes to him. Whatever it is. because you're obviously qualified for whatever it is. Amen? I hope you got something out of this evening. I hope you did. We're going to close in prayer, and if you have any needs that you like prayer for, if you want to make your way up afterwards, we'll pray for you. Other than that, once I pray, you'll be dismissed. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you. We thank you for promotion. Father, I know in my heart that you're going to be coming to a number of the people in this body, and you're going to be saying to them, it's time to come up higher. All of the time of working in the field, praying and fasting and meditating has produced something inside that you can promote, and that's what you want to do. And I just pray, Father, I pray that we have ears to hear you when you come, that we have a heart that's willing. Father, some of us have done this for so long, waiting for a promotion. And it's so easy to be weary, Lord, in well-doing. I just speak words of encouragement to anyone's heart that is speaking to. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for clear instructions. I thank you, Father, for willing hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So you're dismissed, and if you'd like to have prayer, you can just come forward. Thank you very much.